Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. What'd you say?
I'm about to go over our Super Bowl picks.
Yeah, we didn't do too well. I didn't save them. Mm-hmm. Rob was the closest because he picked at least one of the teams that would be low scoring.
Well, yeah,
50-0.
I know. I think I picked the winner, so I'll take that.
Oh, but, there you go. Okay.
Excellent football game. Excellent football game.
Very tense.
Real football fans who understand defense and understand strategy.
But what do you know about defense?
Defense. Mm-hmm. Defense wins championships.
Oh, does it? Okay. Yeah. And says a former defenseman, Mr. Ben Reichle, our co-host today.
Thanks. And then also, too, though, for those who wanted to be entertained, commercials were average maybe, but the game was not the entertaining factor that the non-football aficionados wanted, but it was an excellent football game for those who understand the details. And going to a blitz defense or going to a zone man defense. Oh, excellent stuff, Mark.
Good stuff. And your review of the Super Bowl?
Actually, I was to a party my friends have every year. Going back, people I work with at Conestoga, they have a party every year, so there's probably about six or eight of us that get together and watch the game and have dinner, and it just was a excellent game. I can't summarize it any better than what Ben did.
Oh, okay. You didn't play football, though.
I did not play football. My brother did at Chickalimmie.
Oh, okay.
But I will say this. The NFL, please consider moving it to Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we don't have the big hangover on Monday. Fine with me. It wouldn't bother me at all. All right, well, welcome aboard, everybody. This is WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Throughout our 90 minutes, the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, or you can text us at 70236. Ben Reichle is with us, local businessman. He happens to be a Republican committee person, but he's an American first, and then he's a father. And beyond that, he works in an employee-owned company and is a GOP committee person and a conservative individual, a member of the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, and a lot of other hats he wears. But he comes in our studios. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, good to be here.
We have Mr. Fred Keller with us. He's a state representative of the 85th District, just won re-election. He, too, has one of those self-imposed term limits where, what is it?
12 years.
12 years, yeah, 12 years. So that'd be six terms. And this is your fifth. Okay, so,
fifth.
Wow, you're on the downslide. So, downside. See. So, he is serving, just got re-elected. And he is also an announced and organized and committed 12th District U.S. Congressional candidate on the Democratic, the Republican side, sorry. And he is hoping to be the replacement for U.S. Congressman Tom Marino, who we keep in our prayers. We talked about his health issues in the past once or twice. He opted not to disclose when he stepped down that in addition to an interest in getting the heck out of Washington as it was configured, he wasn't in very good health, but did do three exclusive interviews yesterday with reporters. So we're glad he came clean with that. So we keep him in our prayers.
And but the 12th District office is open in D.C., and the district's offices around, they've now become the Pennsylvania 12th Congressional District office.
So, oh, okay.
So those offices are open. I stood in the one in D.C. It was probably not as organized as you would think as a sitting congressman in your office, but they are open for business, so if you need anything from your congressional side, those folks are still there to serve.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. I thought we'd divide things into state, then federal. First 20 minutes, state. Is that okay with you?
It's your show, Mark. I'll do whatever you say.
Okay. Well, you have to agree. All right. Well, let's talk about the state budget.
Mark's a compromising co-host.
Yes, well, yeah, I'd be more than happy to flip it around if that's what you want to do. All right. So let's start about the budget in Harrisburg. You heard the governor's budget remarks this week. No new taxes. He had kind of talked about all that earlier, although raising the minimum wage is a heck of a tax on businesses if it were to happen. So your thoughts about the budget in Harrisburg?
Well, I guess I'll start with what you said on minimum wage. You said tax on businesses, but actually it's going to be the consumers that's really going to impact when you look at the minimum wage. And we actually had a hearing Wednesday, House Labor and Industry Committee, and we had a couple economists, one from here locally, Dr. Matthew Rasu, the dean of the business school at the Susquehanna. And, you know, we tried to really understand and unpack what that means, because you don't just increase the wage. You increase everything that's attached to that wage in the benefits package, whether it's Social Security tax and so on. And the concern that I think a lot of people have is wherever you place that wage, once everything equals out, do the people really have any more buying power? You know, or do they just have they're sort of the same spot with just a higher wage? Seeing that many of the businesses already have wages greater than minimum wage, it sounds good to do it, but I think that we really need to understand the impacts, because a lot of places like supermarkets and hardware stores, you go into Kohl's Hardware, and it's a lot of younger kids that, you know, work on the weekends and so forth, and that will increase the prices of things at the grocery store and the hardware store, the things we need. And I think we need to be careful that doesn't adversely impact people on fixed incomes, and also the people that are just beneath where you place that wage, or just above where you place that wage. So I think there's a lot of things to think about there. The governor booked with the minimum wage increase, I think a $120 million increase in the financial statement we got here. Not sure if we netted out the increased costs in some of the other areas of the government, the human services, maybe some of the school districts if they have part-time workers and so forth. So I think there's a lot of things to unpack in the governor's budget. The no new taxes, I do know that looking at the things, there's going to be some things that are paid for offline with special accounts, and I think we need to be careful of that. The analysis we've done, we got a tracking run that shows a 2.8% increase. But looking at that, that includes the supplementals that the governor spent. So if you look at what was appropriated or approved by the General Assembly and signed into law last year versus the governor's proposal, it's a little bit over 4.3% increase. And then until we get through and look at all the things that have been taken offline or will be proposed to be taken offline, it could be greater than that. So.
So are you saying that's the increase in the overall budget?
The general fund budget, I think it's important to let people know. In Pennsylvania, our operating budget, when you include all the funds, federal funds, liquid fuels tax, and everything else, is about $85 billion. The general fund budget last year that we approved was about $32.7 billion. So we're talking about what we call discretionary funds or the general fund budget, which would be $32.7 billion.
But it looks like spending is going to be, what the governor wants is to increase spending by approximately $928 million, almost $1 billion,
well, that's
last year's budget?
That's when you include the supplementals that have been spent in excess of what was approved. If you look what he wants to increase, it's about $1.4 billion over what was approved. Right here is the...
Okay.
If you look at the tracking run...
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going off of a report, but the governor wants to increase spending, not raise taxes. Where's that billion, let's just call it a billion, going to come from?
Right.
And now we see, you know, what's in the details.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, one of the proposals is the state police funding, and I know that's been talked about many, many times.
Where did state police funding get off the rails?
Well, see, some of this goes back to, and I'm going to say into the 90s, when it was originally started to take money out of the motor license or the liquid fuels. Mm-hmm. You know, some of that money, and we started taking some of that money and paying for state police, and then that increased under every governor. So again, I'm not going to place blame on anybody, but we kept taking more money out of that. And then what happened is it was a few years ago, and I'm not sure if it was I think it was last year of the Corbett administration, sometime around there, where we said, hey, we're going to start covering more of that out of the general fund. But, you know, some should come out of liquid fuels, and that was the initial idea because they provide service on the interstates and the state highways. But then it was an easy way for people to get money and not have to raise taxes on
our
general fund.
It siphoned off infrastructure money for state police, not saying some of that shouldn't be there. So, you know, we're even being down in Washington this week in offices, we're talking to the Pennsylvania delegation, congressional delegation, male, female, Democrat, Republican, senior, freshman, the infrastructure should be potentially bipartisan.
Yes.
But then you look in Pennsylvania, and we have the second highest gas tax to California, but then how much of our intake goes to non-infrastructure items, and what we see in the future, potentially, is going to be less money coming in from a gas tax because of the efficiencies of vehicles, potential electric vehicles when it's not 5 degrees below zero. You see some different things. The natural gas, the buses, and the larger potential 18-wheelers now going to natural gas. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we're going to fund infrastructure, but then how are we going to keep funding things like the state police?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I know we already do some things on when people use the biodiesel, make their own biodiesel. They have to actually make payments based upon the production of what they make or use. So you could look at some things like that with the LNG and the natural gas vehicles. You could also look at that for some of the electric vehicles and maybe base it on mileage or, you know, just sort of like it's a portion for trucks. I mean, we figured it out with the trucking industry. You know, they pay based on the miles they drive in the Commonwealth, not where they buy the fuel.
Yeah. Now, the other part, though, would you want the state police and some of the state workers to have a little skin in the game and say, okay, we have to look at your retirement package, not just your pension, but your years served. Right now, you get, X amount of years served, you can retire, and some of those officers and some of these people are in their mid-50s. Do you say, hey, we need 3 or 5 more years from you?
I think there's a lot of things that you put on the table to look at when we talk about the retirement age, the benefits, the post-employee benefits, the health care, the retirement. I think you need to look at things. Now, you can't do that going back because of that, but you could look at it for new people coming in and saying, hey, look, here's the expectation level. We started this with the pension of a defined contribution. We finally got a piece of that into the pension system. I think we need to build upon that.
Problem disappeared, right?
What, excuse me?
Pension problem been taken care of, right? It disappeared because nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it because, we passed some legislation that, as far as public policy, is good public policy. As far as getting revenue to pay down on the debt. Mm-hmm. I mean, our pension situation improved, but more so because of the economy and how well the investments have been doing over the past few years, not necessarily, and the fact that we've been putting more money into the pensions.
And you got some new investors, correct? Mm-hmm. The people who were investing in the past were, I have a friend down south who would say, boy, they were cutting themselves a fat hog. Yeah. I mean, they were making money on the state with not the return to the state. Yeah.
All right. So the one thing I guess I'd like to talk about, and sort of go back to the gas tax if I can, and look at how Pennsylvania gets the money for our roads and our infrastructure. We do get more of it from a higher gas tax, but in all fairness, states like Colorado, Massachusetts, Virginia, North Carolina, a lot of states have an asset tax on your vehicles, whether it's your car, your boat, your motorcycle. We actually in Pennsylvania make the vehicle inexpensive to register and own, but the gas tax is higher because you're using the roads. So it's more of a user fee.
Less so a one-time fee when you're registering.
Again, the Daily Item ran a story, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, and we were talking about this, and they said the average Pennsylvanian uses 600 gallons of gas. And I'll just round up. Our gas tax is 50-some cents a gallon. I'll round it up to 60 to make it easy. That's $360 a year in gas tax and $40 to register your passenger car, about $400. Some states you'll pay that just on your car, and then you'll pay their gas tax.
Also, okay.
Yeah, so I think it's important to note that we tried to look at a way that you know, we can get money from infrastructure from the people that are actually using it, even if it's people from out of state.
I remember I know somebody who lives in Maryland, and she said, well, we're going to register the car. It's it's like $1,200 mm-hmm. to register the car.
The other point I'd like to make on the gas tax is the early 80s. It was like 1983. That we capped, or the General Assembly back then, I was in high school, but the General Assembly back then capped the tax on gas the wholesale tax at $1.25 a gallon. So in essence, what we did was we took that cap off and said, hey, look, we're going to tax the entire value of a gallon of gas, because the wholesale price of gas in 1983, they never thought it'd get to $1.25, or they thought it'd be a very long period of time.
All right, and we got the CSVT going with that funding, right? So that helped.
That was the state funding for that. There's okay. a lot of funding streams in that, state, federal, you know, so you got to look at that. But that was our state portion.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have open phones. Anybody has a question about state topics for House Member Fred Keller, the 85th District. He's the Republican state representative. We're going to talk about U.S. congressional topics after the top of the hour. But we're talking about the state budget. We just mentioned minimum wage, so we have to get to legalize marijuana and PEACERS. So we'll talk about those when we come back. But call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live's telephone talk show, On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. If you have a question for House Member Fred Keller, on the topic of the budget, you sometimes vote for the state budget, sometimes against. How would you feel about this particular budget? Would you vote for it as presented?
No, there's a lot of things to unpack here, Mark, and this is the beginning of a long process. I don't know, since I've been in a General Assembly, whether it's been Governor Wolf or Governor Corbett, you know, the proposal that came out in the budget address has always been different, you know, when we got the time to be approved. So, again, this is the beginning of the process, and I think the governor purposely, and, you know, I don't think anybody would do anything differently, put a lot of stuff in here knowing that he's going to have to negotiate. You know, he's... That's how it works. So, looking at the budget, I don't see everybody just saying, "Oh, it's this, and we're gonna do it," because there are a lot of things that we need to unpack in the budget and sort through. And that is, and I think Ben said it very well. You know, we're looking at spending, according to the tracking run here, $1 billion. But when you look at the supplementals that were put in this year, it's $1.5 billion that we're increasing over what was approved. You know, you look at that and you say, where are you going to come up with the money if you're not going to, you know, the economy's doing well, but our revenues, we're going to probably be $300 million above where we were last year. Well, so if we're $300 million above where we were last year at the end of the year, and we're increasing, and I'm going to go off of the number of what was approved, you know, $1.4 billion, you're a little bit short.
Right. Well, you talked about the minimum wage hearing. Did you hear from folks who advocated for raising the minimum wage?
We talked to people on both sides of the issue,
what
and you know, a lot
message?
Of people talk about you know, how it would help you know, people on the lower end of the scale. There's actually a minimum wage report that the Department of Labor does every year. Every March it comes out. So, you know, in another month we will see the report, and it's just one of those things that I read every year and take a look and see how we're doing with the amount of people that are earning minimum wage. What are the makeup of the people that are doing that? Again, the minimum wage wasn't designed for somebody to raise a family on or anything like that. It was designed as a training wage for people to get, you know, when you're in school. I'm going to be honest with you, Mark. When I was in school, minimum wage was appropriate for me because I was learning. You're sort of learning some of those skills. You know, you got to be able to show up for work. You got to be able to take orders from your boss. You got to be able to do all those things. You got to be able to work as a team.
Refresh my memory. Your first job?
Actually, my first job that paid. Let me put it that way. Washing pots and pans over at the Doctor's Convalescent Center on Broad Street in Seals Grove.
Okay. All
right, that's the first one to give a paycheck. We did a lot of odd jobs when we were kids. A lot of picking up aluminum cans and soda bottles.
Snow shoveling.
I did a lot of that.
Yeah, we made good money shoveling snow. Okay.
Remember, most of our jobs, or hopefully our first jobs, were chores around your residence. And some of people got allowances, and some people got a roof over their head and meals.
All right. And so you have, at this point, you don't favor raising the minimum wage.
I'm open to having a discussion. I just think it's a matter of where you select to place it. I'll just put it that way. You know, if we look at some kind of compromise and can say, okay, you know, a little bit, you know, but $12 an hour, I think is, you know.
Legalized marijuana, you haven't favored it in the past. We've got a big listening tour underway. What's your view on this now?
Well, I look at the recreational marijuana, and everybody's talking about raising revenue. And if our public policy has now devolved to the point where we do things because we can raise revenue, I think we're on a slippery slope.
What if we do it because it's the right idea? I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying if having more freedoms is better than having more restrictions from government, why not do it? Consider it for that point.
Well, I mean, again, you can look at a lot of things and say you're giving people more freedoms, but public safety is a function of government, and you have to look at the other side of the equation. When you look at what are the repercussions of legalizing a drug that, you know, that can have adverse effects on individuals and those in society.
All right, we'll stay tuned, and maybe someday you'll have a proposal in front of you, and we'll ask your view on that after the listening tour. You'll go to some of the listening dates, perhaps?
I'll see what's available, and I definitely, at the very least, will make sure that I review the information and take a look at it. Again, Mark, I like to be informed on all sides of the issue, but as it stands right now, legalized. I grew up in the 70s and early 80s when I graduated from high school, and I saw a lot of people that used drugs. And I see that, and people that I know very well, and I see the fact that they smoked marijuana, and I see what it does. And I don't see anybody changing my mind on legalizing it for recreational use.
Peacers Board, we hate to see you leave as soon as you got on, but tell me about, I just have to think this is going to be like fire and water or something. You deal with financial things with common sense, and I don't even know how to describe their operation.
Well, it's, you know, the speaker appointed me to the Peacers Board, which, you know, I've been involved in pension legislation from, you know, since I got to Harrisburg, because that's one of the issues that we need to make sure. We made a promise to the people that worked for the Commonwealth and that worked for our school districts. And in order to keep that, we need to make sure that our pension systems are healthy and funded. And the benefits make sense for the people that have to pay them. Now, having said that, for the people that we've made the promise to, you know, we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that that happens. I had my first board meeting the day after I was appointed. But the interesting part is you can't vote on anything until you go through the fiduciary training and the other training, which we're in the process of doing now.
Which you could teach, I assume.
Well, I appreciate all that confidence, but, you know, they make somebody else teach it. So I have to sit in a class and learn. And, you know, you always learn and pick things up whenever you're talking to people and whenever you're in. So I'm anxious to see what we can do. And how we can, as a board, make the decisions that are right for the members of the of Peacers.
Yeah, one analysis, and I know you had Dr. Russo and folks down for the budget hearings talking about minimum wage, but an interesting analysis, and this is just out of Harrisburg, but a group looks at it and they said, okay, the 12-hour, you know, 7:25 to 12, probably help about 1 million workers, but it would also displace between 30 and 35,000 workers. So, again, for every action, there's a reaction. I think Dr. Russo talked about it last Friday.
Oh, back on the minimum wage.
Yeah, when you look at the minimum wage and you see what happens. You know, marijuana, I hate to say it, Fred, it's once medical marijuana comes in, the quote-unquote somewhat liberal progressives become very capitalist-oriented because now they think they can raise money. And I think going back for decades, I always talked about my concern is if your economic development is based on vices, good luck, because you hope that vice does more good than harm. And if you go to the cigarette scenarios, you know, there were my personal opinion on cigarettes is for all the tax money it brings in that the government loves, look at the problems medically that that does.
You'd think
you would ban that from society. Not that, you know, getting into banning things, but look at the problems with cigarettes and look at what we do.
Yeah.
Tax revenue.
Yeah, what's the cost benefit on it to the people that have to pick up the tab on the bill?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to keep this conversation going. We're going to turn to some federal topics as our guest, State House Member Fred Keller, also an organized, committed candidate for U.S. Congress, a conservative Republican in the 12th District running for that, hopes to end up on the ballot in the May 21st primary. So we're going to talk about that shortly. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. Mr. Fred Keller is with us, State Representative, 85th District, 12th District, U.S. Congressional candidate on the Republican side. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You are welcome to call us at onthemark@wkok.com. It is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. We invite you to see Terry out at Shade Mountain, Tyler out at Trutz Pharmacy, Steve at Norrie Pharmacy, Kathy at Danville Pharmacy, Jennifer at Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Brad at the Lewisburg Pharmacy. We give you their names because you get to know them on a first-name basis. So go ahead and head out to 2nd Street in Lewisburg and see Brad. You can go to Market Street in Bloomsburg. That's where the medicine shop is held in Bloomsburg. Danville Pharmacy's on Mill Street. Norrie Pharmacy's on Duke Street. Trutz Pharmacy on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy out on Route 35. And I'm sure that our guest has been there on multiple occasions. And has visited and said hi to Terry and the rest of the staff there. And it's an opportunity for you to get first quality service on a first name basis. Some of them got drug take back boxes. Some of them deliver, but they all deliver super service. They invented super service, and they would just love to super serve you at a Hometown Pharmacy. House Member Fred Keller's here, so email us at onthemark@wkok.com your question. Text us at 70236 and call us on the toll free line 1-800-795-9565. You got something to say?
Well, I was just going to say I've been in all the pharmacies in Mount Pleasant Mills and Mifflinburg and Lewisburg. However, I'm probably in Mifflinburg a little more because that's where the office is. So if I need something, I
can walk right up the street.
I go to Trutz, you know, because it is the hometown.
All right,
and they're great people. Tyler's great.
You get a banana split or a soda at the fountain.
Well, they don't have a fountain there
anymore. You only missed it by 50 years, I'll tell you what.
Hey, one thing can we look at when you talk about the state budget, though, is the education part, because it's pretty interesting what the governor's looking at doing. Up front, it's the minimum pay for teachers at $45,000. But if you look at then compulsory attendance till you're 18.
School age at 6.
Yeah, some of the scenarios going on here, and this is the ultimate payback to, of course, the teachers' union, which Governor Wolf is tied into, and, you know, Republicans on the other side, governors do the same thing with their constituents. But the part about this, I like to throw out, and I know we have some people out there in the education.
Can we wait till 9:30? Do you have a question for him?
Well, for
okay,
Fred,
we'll just ask the question. We'll do the background later.
What we're doing is that we're not looking at the technology and new education.
Yes.
We're just trying to patch some old things together.
Yeah. Yeah, I look at that. And actually, I think Florida's also looking at their teacher pay. It was in the news. The thing I guess I want to talk about the teacher pay for a second, only because I know when the governor said that the rate was set in, the Casey years at 18,000, the late 80s at 18,000 or something. I think that's a little disingenuous because full-time teachers, at least nowhere in my area, are making $18,000 a year. So let's, again, we're trying to whip up some emotion here and say that, to give the impression that the pay could be that low, when in reality it's not.
They make $18,000 a quarter around here.
Well, I'm not going to get into that. And again, for the government to look at that, I can talk a lot of things about how teacher contracts should work because the Commonwealth ends up picking up half the cost for the Social Security and pension. So I would make the argument that we should have the authority to review and approve the contracts that are done locally since we're getting handed half the bill.
Since you're a party, okay.
So, but actually I talked to former Lieutenant Governor Singel about that, and we had some good discussions on that. So there's a lot of things, and I would agree that there are some investments in STEM and some other things. But to your point, Ben, I think we made a look at that and put more into the technology and more into the things that are going to move us into the next
All right,
century.
Lance, you are on the mark.
Hey, guys. Why, anyway, one thing there that I didn't call about, but the school districts, that put in those Olympic swimming pools and all that, well, if they want them, they ought to pay for it and not the taxpayers at large. There was a bill one time I believe it was Maine. They call it the Taj Mahal bill, where it addressed that very thing. That the school districts would, overspend for their buildings, etc. And state should have some.
Okay, you have a question for House members Fred Keller?
Yeah, well, sure. With cost benefit analysis, you ever do it for alcohol? To be for alcohol and not for marijuana is really kind of stupid. I mean, here we have this. It's like, a bucket of water out of the Atlantic Ocean compared to what's going on, with our booze. And it's then the state, is into it up to their eyeballs. We promote it like crazy. Almost every little get-together that anybody has, it seems now to me, they have, wine there. I mean, somewhere, somebody's going to get hooked on this stuff. And yet, we do it with impunity.
All right. Thank you. Fred Keller.
Well, I get one thing is, not being a person that drinks other than, but we actually had that discussion before the radio show.
No, I had to ask.
Yeah, Mark asked me if, I said, communion wine is the only time I drink, and it's just a little cup of wine at communion. Lance, I get what you're saying with the liquor. We tried that back in the 20s and 30s, and that I think the ship sailed on that. But again, you got to understand how one person is affected when they drink versus when they use other drugs. Yeah. When somebody drinks and they're at home and they're watching the game or whatever, when they go to work the next day, that's likely out of their system. And, you run into some issues with other drugs that don't affect the body differently. And I think that's probably part of it. And again, I think Ben's point's very valid, that when you start taxing vices, and that's why you look at it, they're really what is the benefit on it?
But we love taxing vices, right, Ben?
Well, and you hope they have. And Lance, your point is sort of the same with alcohol as it is my point with cigarettes. The groups who want that tax on the vice can't they can't give it up. But if you look at the medical scenarios, I would agree with you. Alcohol, cigarettes, what they do, the damage to society. If you took a step back, and let's use the ultimate analogy. If you came from another planet and landed here, and you looked around, and you said, "Well, why do these people do this to themselves?" And it's a lot of tragedy there, and I would agree with your cost analysis benefit.
All right, thank you so much, Lance. Really appreciate the call. All right, you're running for U.S. Congress.
Yes.
Why?
why am I running for Congress?
There's an opening, right?
Excuse me?
There's an opening.
No, that's the wrong reason if I'm doing it.
But there is an opening, right?
There is an opening, which is, you know, the first thing. But one thing is, and I know Congressman Marino, and I know him well. He's a friend. And I just want to first thank him for his service and also let him know that, you know, he's in our prayers. And, you know, I did talk to him shortly after he made the decision and had a nice conversation. It's unfortunate. He has health problems but we're going to keep him in our prayers and his family. So, you know, looking at that. So why am I running? I look at that for the same reason I got into politics to begin with. And you sort of have to look and say, okay, what motivates you to do this? And my motivation is simply the fact that when I look at any other nation in the world and I look at America and how fortunate I have been in my lifetime. And, Mark, I know we've talked a little bit about when I grew up, and we talked about a paying job. You know, when I was 7 years old, we walked along the highways picking up balloon cans and soda bottles. So we had food to eat. You know, and things. But I do it because I've been afforded so many opportunities in my lifetime. I mean, in any other nation, I would still be as poor as I was when I was a kid, or most other nations, as poor as I was when I was a kid, and so would my kids. And in America, there's opportunity if you work hard, if you do the right things. And that's what our country was built upon, the fact that you could come to America and you could succeed if you wanted to. You know, you could be successful. And I've been able to do that, and I want to be able to give back and make sure that everybody understands that don't let, and this is a thing that sort of I look at with my fellow politicians or some of them when they want to try and define people at risk or disadvantaged, you know, because you have fewer dollars. You're not at risk. You're not disadvantaged. You just have fewer dollars. So let's talk to everybody and have the discussion that you can succeed. You're not at risk. You're not disadvantaged. You're not less intelligent because you're poor. You simply have fewer dollars than somebody else. And let's promote policies that allow everyone to succeed and not start and not continue or go down the road of some of these socialist policies that appoint or the politicians think that they've been appointed to take and say redistribute that wealth and sort of try and take care of somebody because they think they know better than the person that that is in the unfortunate circumstance of having living a poor lifestyle. It's not fun. It's not fun being poor, not at all. But you know, I grew up that way. I was raised by my grandmother for a couple of years. We lived over here in Sunbury, and you know, we learned that, you know, you work hard, you do what's right. You don't envy what other people have. If you want those things, you work for them. And, you know, those policies, those ideals need to come back to the people that are in government. And that's really why I want to do it. I want to give back to a nation, to a society that's been so great to me.
And that converts to political conservatism. You're going there with good central Pennsylvania Republican ideals.
Yeah. The values that match up with the people of the district. You get a day's pay for a day's work. You think you know better yourself. You should be telling me what policies to enact, not me trying to re-educate you or tell you what I think is best for you. And you know, some people think that. Some people have said that, you know, that, hey, it's the policymakers' fault because we've been unable to re-educate people to what's in their best interest. That's not our job as government. And I think we need that voice in government that says, you know what, I believe in the spirit of the people that put us in government because it's their government. It's not the elected officials' government.
And how do you listen to people with whom you disagree? You do active listening. You're on a listening tour all the time. So I think your audience might not catch that nuance that, you know, I talked to you about legalizing marijuana. I think we should. You have a lot of questions. There's no legislation pending, so that kind of curtails the conversation. We talked off mic about severance tax. We might not agree on that. But you hear me out and you listen. A lot of elected leaders say, well, I'm a Republican, so we don't actually listen to your side. You don't have that ailment.
No, actually, because of my background, you know, and the fact that, you know, you want to make sure you're heard. An elected official is the voice of the people that elect them. And in the 12th congressional district, in the 85th district, I just happened to have the same values, and I think that's why that's why people win election, because they have the values of the people of that area. But it's the being able to be heard, being able to be understood and listened. You know, we used to say something in business, you know, communication. You know, is it a 50-50 proposition? And most everybody would say, yeah, it is. I said, no, it's not. It's 100%, 100%. I have 100% responsibility to make sure that I communicate effectively, and you have 100% responsibility to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. So a lot of times when somebody says something to me, I'll say, may I repeat that in my own words to make sure that I don't make a mistake with it. I think we should value everybody's opinion. We may not agree with them. That doesn't mean that their opinion doesn't have value. You know, the first thing I did, we talked about Ben, talking about being a Pennsylvanian first and everything else.
Well, he's an American.
American first.
And he doesn't say American. It's American.
Okay. Well, sometimes I don't say things properly, so I'm not going to pick on anybody's pronunciation.
No, it's not a dilemma. It's a put on.
Okay. So I look at that. I tell people I'm a human being first. First and foremost, that's what I am. Secondly, I'm an American, and then I'm a conservative, and that's how I look at it, and that's how I approach things. So everybody has value, and that actually goes back to my stance on life. You know, I am pro-life. I don't run from it. I don't hide that. But you know, that's because every person has value.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ben's ready to comment, right? You have something on that?
No, I think it's very interesting what's going to happen. We can lay out sort of the conferee process that's going to take place in the 12th District to replace Congressman Marino. One thing I like to say, though, Congressman Marino, you know, you can disagree with him, but if you look at his story, his life story, it's one of those American success stories, somebody who grew up, pulled themselves up. Him and his wife Edie have accomplished a lot, but it's a very interesting story sort of behind the scenes.
It's a tough life along the way too. He could tell you about the bumps on the way if he were here. He's still not talking to us, so we don't get to talk to him about that, but the fact is he did not live a charmed life. He's scratched and clawed for everything. All right, we are going to talk about State Representative Fred Keller, who's an announced U.S. congressional candidate. If you have a federal question, give him a buzz right now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. We got about 10 minutes left. We're going to talk about the conferee process, and we're going to get his view on the wall.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Danville, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, we have five more minutes with U.S. congressional candidate Fred Keller. He also happens to be a state representative. Paul, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Okay, in the military, we had a thing that was considered assigned and countersigned. And they always told us that familiarity breeds contempt, that if the guy that came to you and you gave him the sign and he couldn't give you the countersign, you treated him like an enemy, not like a guy you go out and drink and every Friday night or Saturday night or do favors for him. And how does government treat its own in the same way, or do they show favoritism to the people that they work with?
Wow, tough question. You care to attack that in any way? I'm not sure.
Well, again, I think that there's probably government being elected officials being individuals, you're probably going to run the whole spectrum of people that are going to behave differently, you know, as far as how they treat people, whether they trust them, whether they don't. And I think that's part of the question he was saying there. If somebody comes up to you, you know, his example in the military, if they couldn't give the sign back, how do you treat them? I think that's gonna be different depending on the individual. I think the important thing that we probably need to look at here in our area and in our country is that we treat people with respect. And, I believe the best in everybody. Treat them all fairly. Not understanding, I think that you're going to have a wide range of how people approach different situations simply because they're human beings, and we don't all react the same. So,
all right, the process, you need 202, most of the 202 conferees that are coming up to help nominate you.
You need 50% plus one. It has to be a majority. So the process is that the 15 counties that make up the 12th congressional district, it's actually 13 counties and two partial counties, those being Center and Northumberland. They will, all the committees, the Republican committees in those areas for the Republican candidate, will send conferees based upon the vote totals that were cast for the Republican candidate in the last presidential election, which would be the Trump election. So based upon every 1,000 votes, you get a delegate for each 1,000 votes. If you're close, they round it. If you're at 12,100, you get 12 conferees. If you're 11,900, you still get 12. So they sort of do a rounding. There's 202. You need 50% plus one. They will meet in Williamsport on March 2nd, I believe it is. And, we'll sort of, at least that's the rumor that's going around. So the rumor date and the location. They will meet. The names will be available to the people interested in running. You'll be able to send them information, talk to them, make a presentation at the conference. And the PAGOP rules and Robert's Rules of Order will govern the running of the convention, but that'll be run by PAGOP, the state party. The conferees are appointed based upon the county bylaws as far as whether the committee or the chairman does it. So that's really the whole crux of the matter as far as the mechanics of how the whole thing works.
All right, and your view on the wall, and then you two get a closing comment.
The view on the wall, and again, I'm going to talk more broadly in border security. And I think we've all realized that, you know, there's at different areas across our borders, different things may be appropriate to work the best. And I said, first and foremost, we need to look at the experts that are down there, our border control agents, and that are on the line every day, and what are they suggesting, and how do they think that we approach this? So we need to take a look at that and do it that way. So I think some places a physical barrier makes sense. I think some places it's going to be technology, some places it's going to be more agents, or any combination thereof. I am not opposed to the United States enforcing our borders. And it's not that I don't have sympathy for people in other nations that are being treated poorly by their government. Along with this goes fixing our immigration problems. You know, we have a broken immigration system that was promised to be fixed back in the 80s. And inaction has, you know, nobody's actually gotten to the root cause of that and fixed it. You know, people overstaying visas, you know, the application process. I know some people that have actually brought people from another country to be married from the UK, and the process is terrible. So I think we need to do things with our border, make sure it's secure. But we also need to look at our immigration policies and how people can come to the United States, because letting people come in that haven't done it properly is so unfair to the people that have done it properly. And let's define what we're talking about. You have immigrants and you have illegal aliens. You know, and I know some people over the years have changed that to an illegal immigrant, and now we're dropping the illegal part. And we're not calling the person illegal. We're calling the action they take to come here illegal. And I think that's a huge distinction. You don't know what you'd do if you were in their situation. Again, I'm not blaming the people that come here or try to get into the United States or that are here illegally. I blame the inaction on the government to make sure our policies address this appropriately.
Right. An additional comment from you,
Ben.
Well,
it's certainly the immigration problem is from A to Z. The illegal side of it comes in. But the whole process, and if you look at what they've done since 1964, but there's groups that are benefiting from And certainly we see in San Diego in areas where walls did work, barriers do work. And this whole concept, well, they dig under it and that, well, okay. You know, we get into semantics on things. But if you see what the cost to the United States is for not having a solid immigration system, probably a merit-based immigration system that goes through A to Z, people seeking asylum, people's education, tourist visas. I mean, the whole process is so bad that I think finally some people are getting it. But in our area, we're a bit insulated.
All right, one more minute from you, please.
Well, I would just like to say to the people of Central Pennsylvania, particularly Union Snyder Counties, thank you. I appreciate your support. You've been great over the last eight plus years. I will continue to serve the people. That is first and foremost what I do. I have my committee assignments. I'm still on all my committees. I'm still doing all the work. That comes first. Campaigning for another office is secondary. Again, I take very seriously the trust that has been placed in me by the people of Union and Snyder counties. That is my first priority. And the campaign for the 12th Congressional District, I think once people get to know who I am, why I'm running, and how I've served here at the state level, I think that I can win the confidence of the people of the 12th Congressional District.
All right. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You have just enough time to use the restroom and get there, both. So he's got a meeting in Mifflinburg, so we appreciate that. We'll take a break. We got headlines coming up. U.S. Congressional candidate and State House member Fred Keller was here.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got open phones right now. What's your reaction to what you heard from State House member Fred Keller talking about state topics, or U.S. congressional candidate Fred Keller? And he's up against Jeff Wieland up in, from Lycoming County, who's also a good state representative. He's no Fred Keller, but he's a good egg, so I think the conferees will have their work cut out for them.
Look for between probably 8 to 18 people that will throw their hats in the ring.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes. That's a lot. All right. Fantastic.
In the conferee process, we'll get into it, walks through. It goes first ballot, second, third, fourth.
Do you think 18 valid names with committees will be there by then?
Well, between 9 and 18, 8 and 18 is, wow, are the numbers we're seeing, and we'll see what happens here coming forward.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you. All right. You are listening to On the Mark. We have open phones right now. Call us 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number, 1-800-795-9565. I got brief news headlines, but I'm going to give you a chance to call or email us or text. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. While I read headlines, Ben's going to check out an email that just came in that has the subject line, Mr. Marino. Mm. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize on all types of service. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can find them on the web at Sunbury Motors. CarsOnCars.com. Check out online specials. Build your next Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. And they're also a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and a master towing service. They got a car wash and a body shop and a finance department and thousands of used vehicles. And everything is listed at SunburyMotors.com. So please avail yourself of this great company. They're our sponsor of the On the Mark show. The declining health of U.S. Congressman Tom Marino has been talked about locally for weeks, but he recently broke his silence with three exclusive interviews, one with an online medium, PennLive.com, The Daily Item, a newspaper medium, and WNEP, which would be TV. And he's talking about his recurring kidney disease and recent surgery and says he is now on the mend. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is not happy with U.S. trade policies.
U.S. Senator Pat Toomey says tariffs put in place by the Trump administration are causing harm to businesses in Pennsylvania. Speaking at a news conference by the group Tariffs Hurt the Heartland, Toomey said nearly 1.5 million jobs in the state are supported through international trade. The organization released a report showing that if the administration is unable to reach agreement with China and a proposed increase in tariffs takes effect in March, the U.S. could suffer a net loss of more than 900,000 jobs. Toomey is supporting a bill which he says will restore congressional authority to impose tariffs. Tory Gates, News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice, who is the younger brother of an indicted Philadelphia labor leader, denied Thursday that he knowingly benefited from any money allegedly embezzled from the union. The Philadelphia Inquirer cited five unidentified people familiar with the investigation as confirming Justice Kevin Doherty is a family member, number four, in court documents made public last week. The 159-page federal indictment said union funds were used to pay to remove snow from the relative's home in 2016 and for construction repairs and painting there in 2011. Doherty's lawyer told the newspaper he never knowingly accepted improper benefits. The judge, a Democrat elected in 2015, is not accused of wrongdoing. His lawyer, Courtney Selesky, said that he paid for all the work at his home and had no reason to know who it was that was shoveling his snow or doing that renovation. He had no reason to know who was shoveling his snow or doing the renovations in his home.
Well, he could have paid a contractor, and the contractor could have sent
subcontractors
over, so yeah, you know. But this whole thing in Philadelphia, oh boy, you don't want to jump to conclusions. So let's see what happens. But again, if you're looking at the past and you're looking at precedent, what has gone on?
This is bad.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Finally, Joy Behar and ABC remain silent today after an old photo resurfaced of The View co-host using makeup to darken her skin for a Halloween costume, the latest flashpoint in a series of blackface scandals making national headlines. The 76-year-old didn't mention the clip on Thursday's show, one day after an editor for the entertainment website The Wrap retweeted that the three-year-old segment has Behar discussing the resurgence of her curly hair. During the 2016 segment, Behar displayed a 1970s-era photo of herself at a Halloween party when she was 29. She says that the hair was her own and that she had dressed as a beautiful African woman. Co-host Raven Simone asked whether she had on tanning lotion. Behar, an outspoken liberal, said she wore makeup and that was a bit darker than my skin. Messages seeking comment were not returned from Behar's agent and the ABC program. Cultural appropriation's been in the news this week, buddy.
Yeah, yeah,
have you ever been in blackface?
I had a black eye one time.
This is a great time to say
does
no.
That count?
I know. I saw you with the black eye. Yeah. Didn't something fall off a shelf or something?
Yeah, who knows? But the scenario with this is showing the catch-22 and the hypocrisy, particularly on some of the progressives and the lefts that are, again, the most tolerable and now intolerable, and now all of a sudden it's like, hold it, what were you doing? But I, you know, look at this way. Is it a cultural scenario? The isms are all over the place. You know, what exactly is harassment anymore? Is defined by the person who thinks they're being harassed? Okay, what is the ism, racism, whatever that might be? At what point do have people evolved? Have people matured? In some ways, I remember a picture of dinner up in New York. I'm trying to think. It was Ted Danson in blackface with Whoopi Goldberg. They were there together.
Mm.
So you look.
She was in blackface too.
I think she naturally was, but Ted Danson was in blackface.
Right.
You know, you look at the cultural side of this and, you know, have people evolved. Is the governor of Virginia a racist? Most likely not, to a degree, because you can see what his behavior has been afterwards. But the insensitiveness that people want to put out now is pretty interesting. But, boy, who is going to ever be able to run for anything at some point if everybody can feel that they've, this is some sort of harassment or an ism or something. So time will tell. Will this come into any pool of common sense?
All right, 1-800-795-9565. What's your view on this, Paul? Have we lost our way when it comes to blackface?
Well, not necessarily, Mark, but what I was going to ask you is how many people would turn down an opportunity to take a job in which you can vote yourself a raise and expect other people to pay it?
Well, some people have done that and have lost their jobs. I think of Senator Jubilee and that whole group maybe it's the term pigs live and hogs get slaughtered. And, a lot of these politicians are hogs. And look at some of the pay and contracts for some of the state and federal workers. Is that at a level where, again, it gets to be in the column under hog for the benefits and that? But, you know, if people are going to sign up and get this and the government's going to do that, somebody has to be held accountable, not the people who are taking the situation on.
Okay, Ben, you're looking at it at a capitalist point of view, because if the labor would vote themselves a raise, then you as a capitalist would increase your prices in order to cover that raise.
Well, labor does vote themselves raises. They negotiate their contracts, and if they don't get what they want, they go on strike. So, in a way, you know, they do. You're talking about the politicians that vote themselves a raise, and I think that's come out, and I think that's a pretty slippery slope anymore for these folks, that you don't see a whole lot of it. But then they put it in legislation that automatically gives them a raise.
Well, then explain to me, Ben, how people were paid a nickel to see a movie and made millionaires out of the stars that were in the movie on a nickel.
Because tens of millions of people went and saw that movie.
That's true. And if you have a skill, then you're willing to pay that individual for his ability to perform.
Yes, but that's pretty capitalistic in a way, and that's pretty realistic. I mean, if you can throw and catch or hit and pitch a ball of some sort, if you can kick it, you can get paid a lot of money.
But your schools now are not doing that. The schools are emphasizing on your athletic ability. You can get more money by playing sports than you can by laboring.
A very small percentage of people can, but
I know, but who gets a $240 million contractor for a year and somebody that has to work out in all kinds of weather?
Well, their skill set's different. I mean, if somebody can put a basketball in a hoop and can do that consistently for a number of years, they're going to be paid for that because people are watching them do that. People are watching what they wear, and that company is going to jump in on that. But that's somewhat of a natural cycle of economics and supply and demand.
But you're breaking the point. The point is that you're teaching the students physical ability to perform rather than to use their brain in order to get an idea in order to put other people to work.
Well, I think look at LeBron James. He has put a lot of people to work with his outside business interests. Look at Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson formed a company, and I think they invested in real estate, particularly movie theaters in some areas that other businesses didn't want to go into. He's also part of the Los Angeles Dodgers management and Lakers management teams. So, you know, the entertainment industry, I think it's very positive that a lot of these athletes are taking over and controlling their own destiny and not putting it in agents' hands or other affiliates' hands. So, again, Paul, what is your skill? How does the economy address your skill, meaning will they pay for your skill or pay for not? And there's various skill levels. There's people who can put nails and lumber together and build things. Well, that becomes a very positive. There's people who can understand how to put people together that build things, and they're a general contractor, and they create more. So, skill levels and needs in the marketplace are very interesting how those economics work.
All right,
but capitalists always win it out because they have the final say.
All right, we got you, Paul. Thank you so much. Good questions, all. Some of our listeners send us a note, says, let's hope if Mr. Keller wins Mr. Marino's seat, he'll be a lot more in contact with his constituents than was Mr. Marino. Marino constantly avoided contact at all costs with his constituents, was well known to avoid town hall-type meetings, avoided debates, and as Mark can attest to, refused many invites to come on the Mark. I can say good luck to Mr. Marino and good riddance. Yeah, I agree. All right. And then another letter from another individual says, what a bunch of gobbledygook. The invader that came into our country is not illegal, but what he did is illegal, huh? I'm now convinced that Fred will not be the one to help fix this problem, just like Congress has been unable to do their job for the last 60 years. President Trump should claim the national emergency and build the wall. He really has no choice. It says RJ. So we appreciate that email. Dale, you're on the Mark. Last caller before a quick break. Go right ahead.
Negotiations, discussions, and investigations all on the taxpayer's dime. Then they're going to vote their self a raise. I mean, why? I don't understand. I gave up voting years ago. I don't understand how people can't see through that. It's not about party or ideology.
Are you talking about Washington?
Let me negotiate with your money. Then vote myself a raise. Can I do that?
You're talking about Washington or Harrisburg or both?
Both. I mean, I like Fred Keller. I mean, I think, fearless, and he shows up and he ain't scared. But, that's all they do. I mean, they're going to put more restraint on the common man. Everybody's trying to put money away for retirement and all that, and they're just keep blowing it. It's crazy.
All right.
I don't understand why people vote. I mean, really don't.
Oh, that's right. You don't vote anymore, right, because you're so disgruntled?
I stopped voting 6 years ago because, I mean, basically, I can see right through it. I mean, like I said, when they pack your mind into a narrow thought, then they got you, and that's where you come out and vote. I mean, they're going to keep rambling and rambling. Eventually, something you're going to hear, you're going to like it, is you're going to vote. So, I mean, like I said, they packed your brain up real small, then you go out there and feed into it. So, all right,
we got you.
It's funny.
All right, thank you so much. We got one call ringing, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Hey, Rob, 1 year ago today, and Matt Cotrilla can jump in on this, too. What was going on in Philadelphia?
Well, considering on my Facebook page, my memory of today was Jason Kelce is my hero.
Yep.
That would be the Eagles victory parade.
Eagles victory parade. And, you know, almost New England had theirs, I believe, was it on Tuesday? And it's almost like an afterthought, meaning, okay, we won the Super Bowl Sunday, we'll fly back Monday, send Brady and Edelman to Disney World. And, yeah, well, let's have a parade on Tuesday, by the way. No big deal.
Welcome, Cindy, please.
Cindy, you're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I wanted to let the previous caller put his mind at ease a little bit about voting themselves raises. The 27th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was only approved, ratified, they say, in 1992, prohibits Congress from voting itself a raise. They cannot benefit from the raise. So should they vote for a raise, it cannot come into effect until the next term, until after an election. And the next term. So is it true that they have like an 80%, don't quote me on that, but give or take change, re-election rate? Yes.
Retention.
I think
retention,
it's like 92,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. However, they do risk being kicked out of office, which is what we saw happen here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have this amendment in the Pennsylvania Constitution. However, they cleverly put in place a process by which they automatically get cost of living raises, yep, based on a federal index. Now, when the market crashed and back in 2008, I think, and everything was sagging, they didn't get raises. I'm talking about the Pennsylvania House and Senate. They did not get raises for several years in a row because they were tied to this index. Don't ask me which one. I didn't take the time to look it up. But that federal index did not improve. I think it's the one that Social Security is based on, actually. They didn't get any increase in their compensation, in their paid compensation.
Is that the Consumer Price Index?
It might be, Ben. Whatever the Social Security is tied to.
Okay, so
remember when there was a few years there in the crash where Social Security folks,
yes,
didn't get an increase? That they also did not. The Pennsylvania House and Senate also did not get increases in their compensation. Now, of course, the cost of their health care, and they have platinum health insurance, rose every year. And in fairness, they did get an increase in their compensation because we, the taxpayers, had to pay lots more to keep them in this gourmet health insurance. And the value of their pensions grew every year, and we had to contribute more. In fact, I was shocked to hear this the other day on PCN in a hearing. Back in 2008, the state was paying about $200 million a year into the pension fund, PSERS, CERS. Care to guess how much they paid last year? This is us, the taxpayers, paying into the pension system for the state employees and the school teachers and for the state university professors.
$4 billion.
$2.5 billion.
But
$2.5 billion.
But isn't that made up, though, because they're trying to catch up from what they didn't pay in the 90s?
Unfortunately, no, from in the 2000s when Ed Rendell was in office and told people they didn't have to pay in at all.
But it doesn't some of this go back to the Ridge administration also, though?
Yes, because he gave the teachers in particular an enormous increase in their pension. And you have to pay for this stuff. I'm kind of confused about the governor who has come out and said he's not raising taxes, but he's increasing spending substantially.
All right,
where will this money come from?
All right, thank you so much, Cindy. Excellent questions. We have bad government at all levels, and
inefficient.
It continues. Oh, I'm sorry, I cut off her sentence. I apologize.
Inefficient government.
Lance, you're on the mark.
I couldn't agree with Cindy more, really. But having been to a meeting where Congressman Marino was holding a sort of town meeting.
What?
And the other, well, really?
Was, yeah, well, I've been to, two or three of them,
sure,
four or five.
I think he invites Republicans to go to meetings. I don't think he invites regular people.
Up.
This was
what
open.
What I'm saying is the West End progressives showed up, and that's exactly what they behaved like, was primates. I saw people who looked like mature, capable individuals, and they were behaving like morons. And I tell you what, I can't blame the guy. I'd be running away from them, too.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lance.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. You have a great weekend. Lance, our good friend,
okay,
who I met in person.
February 23rd, we're going to be at the deal down at the...
right, yeah, the blue-red.
The Angels.
Yep.
Okay.
You're red. I'm blue.
And somebody's going to be white. So we'll have the whole red, white, and blue group there, right?
That's pretty American. All right. Monday, Joe will be back. Thank you so much,
Ben Reichley. Yep, we'll see you next week.
This is WDKOK Sunbury.